Welcome to the Bible Answer Man broadcast with the president of the Christian Research Institute, Hank Hanegraaff. Our mission is to equip you with answers to share the hope that you have within you, because life and truth matter. Why? Because being armed with truth will equip you to counter the corrosive worldviews at work in our world today, while experiencing the authentic Christian life will make you a winsome witness of the purpose of life, which is to experience union with God and Christ, both for today and for all eternity. For more information about CRI and the Bible Answer Man broadcast, our phone number is 888-7000-CRI. You can find us online at equip.org. The following program was pre-recorded. And now, here's Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. Glad to have everyone along with us. We are going through St. Matthew's Gospel, and today I want to pick it up with Matthew chapter 10, verse 16, where Jesus says, "I'm sending you out like sheep among wolves. Therefore, be as shrewd as snakes and as innocent as doves." So remember, Jesus is sending out the 12. You remember them in couplets. You have two sets of brothers, Peter and Andrew, and then James and John, the sons of Zebedee. And then we have Philip and Bartholomew. After that, Matthew mentions Thomas and then mentions himself as a tax collector. So Thomas and Matthew. Then we have James, the son of Alphaeus, distinguished from James, the son of thunder. And we also have Thaddeus and then Simon the Zealot, and Judas Iscariot, who St. Matthew identifies as the very one who betrayed our Lord. Anyway, Jesus is sending out his disciples like sheep among wolves. Then he says, "Be therefore shrewd as snakes and innocent as doves." Now, how do you do that? I've met many people who are shrewd. I've met others who are, well, innocent, think children. But by and large, it's hard to be both. By and large, people fall into one or the other of these two camps. They're either shrewd as snakes or they're innocent as doves. But Jesus here is telling his disciples to be both. Because apart from innocence, shrewdness may well devolve into manipulative scheming. But without shrewdness, innocence may well lead to gullibility. So Jesus goes on. With that admonition, he adds, "Be on guard against men. They'll hand you over to the local councils. They'll flog you in the synagogues. On my account, you'll be brought before governors and kings as witnesses to them and to the Gentiles. But when they arrest you, don't worry about what to say or how you're going to say it, because at that time, you will be given what to say. For it will not be you speaking, but the Spirit of your Father speaking through you." Now, think back for a moment to when you're baptized. When you're baptized, you were forgiven. You were cleansed. You were washed. You were united with Christ. You were incorporated into the body of Christ, the church. And then your temple became the temple of the Holy Spirit. And now, says Jesus, the Spirit within you will give you the words to say. You'll be, in essence, like the prophets in the Old Testament. They spoke, and as they did, they found that the very words of the Spirit were on their lips. What an amazing thing that the Holy Spirit that resides within us will give us precisely what to say in trying situations and circumstances. Now, obviously, we don't take our Lord's words here to mean that we should not heed Peter's exhortation to always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have within you with gentleness and with respect, or to do what Paul exhorts Timothy to do, to be diligent, to present yourself approved to God as a workman who need not blush with embarrassment, rightly handling the word of truth. Of course, we need to study. We need to prepare. However, when the disciples and vicariously you or I are taken captive to stand before the rulers of this vain world, just as Christ had to stand before the paltry Pilate, or Paul, who stood before Festus, we can rest assured that the Holy Spirit within us will equip us with words that far exceed our human wisdom. And this is so important, because in the time of our disciples, likewise, in the time in which we live, Jesus is pointing out to his disciples, true followers, that brother will betray brother to death, even a father his child. Children will rebel against their parents and have them put to death. All men will hate you because of me, but he who stands firm to the end will be saved. When, not if, when you are persecuted in one place, flee to the other. I tell you the truth, you will not finish going through the cities of Israel before the Son of Man comes. What in the world does that mean? Well, first of all, for Jesus to predict that brother will betray brother, a father his child, children their parents, is troubling, but it is manifestly true. History has borne eloquent testimony to the fickle nature of relationships when push comes to shove. When it comes to livelihood, when it comes to life, we so easily capitulate. And yet, as Jesus makes plain, when seen from the perspective of eternity, even betrayal on the levels just mentioned seems relatively insignificant in the big scheme of things. I should also mention quickly that when Jesus says that his disciples will not finish going through the cities of Israel before the Son of Man comes, he's not talking about his second coming. Rather, he is telling his disciples that they would see his vindication and exaltation as Israel's rightful king when he comes in judgment on an earthly Jerusalem replete with temple, priest, and sacrifice, a Jerusalem that refuses to acknowledge Messiah in their midst. Well, when that happens, then his disciples would see his exaltation, his vindication. Those who want not the substance but the shadow, well, they will see that they have put their faith in that which does not last. So again, my point here is that Jesus isn't talking about his second coming. He's talking about when he comes. When he comes in vindication, those who want the shadow rather than the substance will ultimately be lost. When we come back from the break, I want to talk about how a student is not above his teacher. For that is the next part of what Jesus makes plain in St. Matthew's Gospel, Matthew chapter 10, 24 through 25, coming up right after the break. Thank you, as always, for those who stand shoulder to shoulder with me in the battle for life and truth. You're making a difference not only for time, but you're making a difference for all eternity. You can give in a safe, secure fashion, by the way, on the web at equip.org, or when you write me at Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. We'll be right back, so please don't touch that dial.
If you were going into combat, what would be more important, the number of those who were for you or the number of those who were with you? Now, apply that question to today's battle for the hearts and minds of literally millions of people at home and abroad. That's what makes members of CRI's support team so vital. They're not simply for CRI's critical mission, they're standing with CRI each and every day. If you want your voice and your values to be heard 24/7 through the outreaches of the Christian Research Institute, become a member of CRI's support team today. Just call 888-7000-CRI to stand with CRI daily in the battle for life and truth. And as our thanks, Hank Hanegraaff will personalize to you a copy of his black leather-bound, silver-embossed Complete Bible Answer Book, Collector's Edition, Revised and Updated. Call 888-7000-CRI or visit our website at equip.org. Hank will be back right after this. The Complete Bible Answer Book, Collector's Edition, Revised and Updated, is a comprehensive collection of the most often asked as well as most difficult questions Hank Hanegraaff has received in nearly three decades of hosting the Bible Answer Man broadcast. This expanded edition contains new entries, leading readers to a better understanding of God and our relationship to Him in Jesus Christ. The Complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition Revised and Updated is a comprehensive, handy, and attractive volume that you will return to again and again. Take your exploration of God's Word to new heights and receive the revised and updated Complete Bible Answer Book as our thank you for your gift by calling 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support the Christian Research Institute's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org. Has God spoken? Are the words of Scripture merely human in origin, or are they in fact the very words of God Himself? 3 years in the making and based on two decades of research and reflection, Hank Hanegraaff's monumental book, Has God Spoken?, answers what is surely the most important question facing our world. In Has God Spoken? Memorable Proofs of the Bible's Divine Inspiration, Hank counters the contentions of the Bible attackers and clearly shows that belief in the Holy Scriptures is not a guess or wishful thinking. It is the only logical conclusion after an honest examination of overwhelming evidence. Order Has God Spoken? From the Christian Research Institute by calling 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. Equip.org. The number of wolves surrounding the Christian flock is growing, and they relish nothing more than docile sheep utterly incapable of defending themselves. From militant secularists at home to militant Islamists abroad, the assaults on biblical Christianity are growing dangerously. But Christian Research Institute support team members aren't in favor of feeding these wolves. Instead, each day they're making possible an array of outreaches that defang these wolf packs with solid arguments and evidence that have stood the test of time. What's more, support team members are equipping themselves with CRI's Equipping Essentials, a hand-picked collection of the best apologetics tools around. Your selection of resources, along with a complimentary subscription to the Christian Research Journal, are just our way of saying thanks. To learn more about the benefits of membership, simply visit equip.org. Once again, that's equip.org. Once again, here is Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. I want to go back to something I said just before the break. I'm not sure whether I was having a senior moment or not, but I want to be crystal clear as to what Jesus was saying when he uses the word comes, because so often when we read a word like comes or coming from the lips of Jesus, we think he's talking about the second coming. And I want to be crystal clear that in this case, he's not talking about his second coming. When he says, I tell you the truth, you will not finish going through the cities of Israel before the Son of Man comes. He is not talking about the second coming. He's telling his disciples that they would see his vindication and exaltation as Israel's rightful king when he comes in judgment on an earthly Jerusalem, a Jerusalem replete with temple, priest, and sacrifice, a Jerusalem that refuses to acknowledge Messiah in their midst. And that continues on, a Jerusalem that doesn't want to let go of, that continues on with shadows when the substance has been revealed in glory. And then Jesus says, a student is not above his teacher, nor a servant above his master. It is enough for the student to be like his teacher and the servant like his master. If the head of the house has been called Beelzebub, how much more the members of his household? So they're calling me the devil. How much more are they going to call you the devil? It's really quite frankly hard to imagine, but the creator of the universe is being overtly called Beelzebub. He's overtly being likened to the prince of darkness. A more horrifying notion is quite hard to imagine. Jesus here is saying that his disciples will experience all this and perhaps a whole lot more. Their detractors are going to call good evil and evil good, truth will fall in the streets, and cruel deaths will follow untold persecutions. He's being straight with the disciples. He's not sugarcoating this by any stretch of the imagination. And by the way, as an aside with respect to truth falling in the streets, just the other day, I read of the AMA, the American Medical Association. They were saying that sex should be removed as a legal designation on public birth certificates. Think about that. I mean, that's hard to wrap your mind around. The AMA saying that sex should be removed from public birth certificates. Dr. Sarah Mae Smith, she is speaking on behalf of the Women's Physicians Section and saying that removing the sex designation is important for moving toward gender equity. Again, Dr. Sarah Mae Smith, speaking on behalf of the Women's Physicians Section, says removing the sex designation is important for moving toward gender equity. Here's her words. I wrote them down. We need to recognize gender is not binary, but a spectrum. And then she goes on to say that to identify a person on the basis of a sex assigned at birth is actively deleterious to their health. Small wonder that people are dubious with respect to information coming out of public health organizations like the American Medical Association or the CDC. If they are willing to go so far as to decouple biological sex from gender, Perhaps there is no limit to where their unsanctified speculations may take them. While public institutions are willing to deny the binary reality of male and female, well, perhaps they're also culpable for politicizing a pandemic. Truth has indeed fallen in the streets. Matthew 10, 26 through 28. Jesus says, don't be afraid of them. Why? Because there's nothing concealed that will not be disclosed, nothing hidden that will not be made known. What I tell you in the dark, speak in the daylight. What is whispered in your ear, proclaim from the roofs. Do not be afraid of those who can kill the body but cannot kill the soul. Rather be afraid of the one who can destroy both body and soul in hell. When the disciples sit at the feet of Jesus, they learn. And Jesus says what they learn in private will soon be made public. The principles of the city of God will stand in stark contrast to the proclivities of the city of man. The contrast will be so great that men and women will have to choose to align with darkness or choose to come into the light. The stakes are high. Bloody deaths will become common, but they will see the resurrection of Christ, and it will change them irrevocably. Change them from those who fear death to those who know experientially that the dead will rise. Stephen would become the first martyr, but he would be the first of many martyrs. For from the time of Christ to the present day, disciples of Christ face persecution. Today, we're talking 21st century. We're talking the present epoch. 4 to 5 persecuted people are Christian. And so it always will be. If they persecuted and murdered Messiah, so too pagans will persecute those who refuse to deny the message of Messiah. Here Christ also, he's drawing a contrast between the body and the soul, between the physical and the seat of the spiritual life. The killing of the body is minor compared to eternal separation from the glory and the goodness of God. The body of every human being will be resurrected. God does not rub out the crowning jewels of his creation, but the soul that returns to the body at the second coming of Jesus Christ, the bearer of the spiritual life, will either become increasingly godlike, or it will devolve into what St. Peter describes as that of a brute beast. Think about the contrast. We were designed to ever more become godlike. We're created as icons of God, but we are created to become godlike. That's what deification is all about. God became man so that man might become God. We will never have numerical identity with those of the Trinity, with Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. But we will become more and more like God, God's by grace, God's by participation in the divine Trinity. God's by participation in the divine life. But the inverse is true as well. If we shun that relationship for which we were created, we will become more brutish, more beast-like. We will devolve, and the nature of God within us will become harder and harder to discern. Next time, we're going to talk about what Jesus said, are not two sparrows sold for a penny, yet not one of them will fall to the ground apart from the will of your Father. Nothing can happen to us before first passing through the filter of God's love. Out of time for this edition of the Bible Answer Man broadcast. As always, thank you so much for tuning in. Thanks for standing shoulder to shoulder with me in the battle for life and truth. I look forward with great anticipation to be right back here with Matthew 10, 29 through 31.
Thank you for joining us today. Our mission at the Christian Research Institute is to defend the faith, answer Bible questions, and encourage Christians to watch their life and doctrine closely. To find resources to help equip you, go to equip.org. That's equip.org. Or call us at 888-7000-CRI. You can also write CRI at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, 28271. The Bible Answer Man broadcast is supported by listeners like you. We're on the air because life and truth matter. A deeper understanding of the Bible's principles and truths will improve the spiritual, moral, and ethical problems facing our nation. Yet the obstacle isn't that the Bible doesn't speak to our greatest needs or answer our deepest questions. It's that the average person lacks the time and tools to extract the answers. That's why Hank Hanegraaff wrote the complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition, revised and updated. This expanded edition addresses over 210 of the top questions he's received as host of the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Hank has taken the complex and made it simple and memorable. Receive the revised and updated complete Bible Answer Book as our thank you for your gift by calling 888-7000-CRI. And make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI. Or visit equip.org. That's equip.org.